would be stirred in our hearts, but not just for this morning, but for our lives and for what you have called us to. Lord Jesus, I am so aware, every day, I am so aware that you are wanting more of us, you are asking more of us, you desire more of us. And Lord, it is my heart's desire as a pastor, as an individual, to see every saint count for you and the King and the, for the King and the Kingdom. And so this morning, Lord, as we just spur one another on, and as it is in a sense my first gap to preach this year, Lord God, that I would spur us on to more for you this year. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You know, you're probably thinking, Chad, you've preached this. You've spoken about this, and I tell you what, I can't move away from this one topic because I honestly believe that when we as individuals fully grasp the point of our life and when we walk in it, man, tell you what, we're going to see incredible things happen. We have been given one life to live. We cannot afford to waste it. Amen. Oh, not everyone agrees. We cannot afford to waste it. Amen. Yes, yes sir. Come on. I'm not going to talk like this, sir. Yeah. I want to, when I was waiting on the Lord this week, and you know, I've been reading through the book of Matthew, and it's always, it wasn't intentional that I started the beginning of the year through the book of Matthew, but I just felt, man, I wanted to work through the Gospels again and read the stories about Jesus. And I kept on coming to that passage where Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. And, you know, you will lose your life. He who loses his life will find it. But he who holds on to his life will lose it. And I tell you, I got stuck on that. And then I was reading that passage in Philippians where Paul speaks about to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I'm like, that is such a hardcore piece of scripture. And I was going, Jesus, what are you saying? He's speaking to me. I know he speaks to me. I mean, I know he's speaking to me. And I said, God, I know you're speaking to your people. You're speaking to a people who you want to live for him. And, you know, so when I started just waiting on the Lord this last week, and I came across the scripture in James chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. You can't drink your tea yet, Bex. and it's James speaking. He says, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. And I want to stop there. Now, just for me, the gravity of that verse that just struck home for me, that we are a mist that appears for a little time. And, you know, God is sovereign. God can give life and he can take away life. You know, sometimes we watch the news and we see the calamities of what goes on, the landslides and so many people got killed, or there's an airliner that gets shot down and so many, and we think, or there's a natural disaster and we think, yo, that is hectic. I tell you what, Jesus said to his disciples and said, there was a story where they come to him and they come and tell him about a temple that toppled over and there were so many people that were killed. I don't know if you know that story. And he says, you know, you're worried about those people and whether maybe they were more sinful than the next guys. But to tell you what, you better just be grateful that temple didn't fall on your heads. That our lives, that right now we have life by grace and mercy, that we have this life, because our life is a mist that can go like that. It can go like that. And what are we doing with this one life we've been given? What are we doing? What are we doing with our life that we've been given? Are we making this one life count? Or are we wasting it? Because it'll go like that. I have friends over the years who have lost loved ones. I remember growing up as a young boy, there was a young guy in Port Elizabeth. He had a gift, he had a calling on his life. He was an incredible bass guitarist. He was part of one of the Christian bands. And one day he was driving home from work. His vehicle hit a puddle and his vehicle lost control and he hit a bridge pylon and was killed instantly. At 18 years old, 19 years old. And I'll never forget his funeral. I think it was probably one of the first funerals I went to. And Andrew led the sermon. His name was Ben. And the celebration of Ben's life, because at the age of 18, man, that boy had such an impact on so many lives. So many lives. I remember at the age of 17, carrying a friend of mine's coffin who died of leukemia. He was 17 years old and he died of leukemia. I'll never forget the day he was diagnosed. And he was so young. And I must be honest, I'll be really honest and real. He hadn't made his life count that much. He only came to know Jesus in that time of his illness. And I'd had the opportunity of phoning him when he was in Krutoski and I was in PE, and I'd phone him and I'd chat to him and encourage him and I'd pray with him on the phone at 17 years old. But when he died, I tell you, there was something in my heart that wept, because this young 17-year-old, I don't think he had reached his full potential. What are we doing with our lives? What are we doing with our lives? Just tell me if my hair's out, eh? Because I was told the other day when I was preaching, I've got the photos, it was just like this thing sticking out. I said, why don't you tell me? So what are we doing? What are we doing on this earth while we're here? Are we accumulating wealth? Are we accumulating things that actually are not going to help us? Let's look at this scripture, Luke chapter 12 from verse 16. And it's a story about a rich man. And he told him a parable. Jesus tells him a parable. Jesus loved parables. And he tells him a story. He says, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barn. I'll build a larger one. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Eesh! Come on. What are we doing? What are we doing? Are we laying up treasures for ourselves so we can stand back and go, well, there we go. Now I can rest and eat, drink, and be merry. What's going to happen to that stuff when we die? Nothing. I mean, pass it on to your children, maybe, if you've got children. Pass it on, maybe make a generous donation to some charity or some cause kind of thing. But you can't take that to heaven with you. Everything we've achieved, no bedroom wall that you've painted on a no I'm getting naughty. I get naughty. No, I'm not gonna get naughty. When there are opportunities for us to be meeting with the saints and other things take priority, those other things, painting a wall in the house or making sure that your car's being serviced or making sure that the kids have got all their pencils sharpened for the next day. Can you take that to heaven with you? Hey, I don't think so. What are you laying up? What treasures are you laying up? You know I love you. You guys know I love you. Jesus, I think what he's saying here for me is when we place too much of a priority on worldly things, I mean, those things are important. I don't want to negate that. Those things, I mean, we need to be painting a wall and making our houses look nice and things like that and preparing for school for our kids. We need to be faithful and good stewards of what he's given us. But when that takes a higher priority over the kingdom of God, I think we need to realign. We need to be faithful. Dan, a couple of weeks ago phoned me and he said, Bud, I'm doing something in my kitchen. I know it's going to take me away from church on Sunday. I wasn't ridiculous. I said, dude, you can't miss church on Sunday because you're laying your kitchen counter. I understood that there was a process involved and it required some flexibility. But his heart is never to miss these times of getting together. His heart is for the king and the kingdom. His heart is for community. His heart is for you guys. So he'll do everything he can to shift things around. But man, hey, this thing just, it wasn't his first point of call. You know what I'm saying? His first call was the body. And he said, Chad, so you know what I'm saying? There's never unreasonableness in us. But if our heart and our motive is for our wealth and our things we're accumulating, we've got it very wrong. I was reading this little article, and it struck me, and I was so tempted to send it to my mom and dad, but I thought they might disown me. One of the greatest tragedies of our culture today is the way billions of rands, dollars, whatever it is invested to persuade people from the age of about 60 to waste the rest of their lives. It goes by the name retirement. And the entire message is this. You work for it, now enjoy it. And what is the it? 20 years of play and leisure, while the world sinks under the weight of millions of healthy older people fishing, cruising around, puttering, playing golf, bridge, bingo, camping, shuffleboard, and collecting shells. All of this in preparation for meeting Jesus face to face with nail scars in his hands. Yo. Come on. I love Bob and Barbara. They, for me, are an example of a couple who came to a point in their life where they could just sit back, relax, play golf, pick up shells on the beach. But they didn't retire, because that's where you go to Paul for retiring. They refired. Okay. If you want to retire, go to Paul. Go to Palm Tires. Okay. They refired. They got to that age where they said, Jesus, we have lots of time on our hands now. We sold out for you. Come on. Come on. I love Uncle Ivan van Vuren. He is an incredible example of an 82-year-old who planted a church and grew that church to 200 people in 2 years in Hoedspruit. Handed it over now to Jonathan and Charlene. But that church pumped. He's now in Pongola working with the leaders there. He's about 85 now, sorry. That was 82, that was 3 years ago. He's about 85 now, he's still counting. Jeff Kibble, he's just come onto Josh Jen, into the leadership of Josh Jen. He was an apostolic for New Frontiers. You guys, you know who New Frontiers was? They're one of the, similar to NCMI, New Front Apostolic Move. Jeff Kibble has just joined Josh Jen. I don't know if he's come on staff. He's retired. He's 70 years old. He's 70 years old, and he's come on to Josh Jen leadership with us. He's with my brother in Weinberg congregation. He has moved powerfully in the, and a lot of who he is and the gift that he carries birthed Josh Jen. 25, 30 years ago, Andrew was sharing the story of how in a meeting, the Holy Spirit, a meeting that Jeff was leading, the Holy Spirit broke out. It was just one of those wild, crazy meetings. And that birthed something in Andrew for Josh Jen. And now, 7 years old, he's on leadership with us. You know, I do not want my life to be wasted and to be just gone. I want my life to count. I want my life to count. Tell you what, Matthew 16, and I alluded to that scripture, and this is what struck me actually these holidays while I was reading. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? Guys, we have one life to live. We need, you know, I look at you youngsters. I look at Noah. I look at Tim, Benny, Benji, Caleb, Michael, Eloise. I look at you guys. I look at the youngsters, I look at Coda, I look at you guys even younger, and I look at Josh, I look at Liam, I look at Alex and Lucas. Like, these guys are treasures to us. They're a gift. Children are a gift. What values are we installing into their lives so that their lives will count? And how can we install values into their lives so that their lives will count if you, as a parent or an adult, don't realize that you have a life that needs to count? Now, this beats deep in my heart. You know, if, like I said, I've lived my life like this. I cannot allow other things to get into the way of building Jesus' kingdom. I cannot allow other things get in the way of me meeting with you guys and spending time with you. I mean, I was like, for me to gather regularly on a Wednesday and a Sunday, man, it's a small part of my life. It's a small part of what is of us meeting. It's like the only things we do, really, in terms of rigid meetings, kind of thing, you know. And yet some of us just go, you know what? I've got more important things to do. What is more important than meeting with the body of Christ? Can I ask that question? What is more important? Meeting with Jesus, but the saints meeting with Jesus. What is more important? What is more important? We need to get this, guys. This is the message. This is what God has called us to, because Christianity is getting watered down. It is. Look around you. You're meeting Christians all the time. I mean, I was chatting to someone the other day, and he says, you know, I don't know, like, he's got a stick on his car, and he says, I'm a Christian. But I don't know if he is a Christian. Well, his behavior certainly doesn't show it. Or the way he's conducted himself certainly doesn't show it. Or what's coming out of his mouth certainly doesn't show it. Christianity has been watered down. I tell you guys, we're faced today with things that are just beating at the door of the gospel message. We've got to stand for these things. We've got to be unpopular. We've got to be unpopular. I'm sure some of you saw what Donald Trump did this last week. I mean, I don't know the man well, but what he did in terms of getting up pro-life was phenomenal. I tell you what, we got to pray for that guy. We must pray for that man, that he can hold the line and he can stick to that, really. And that policy and the policies that he's wanting to implement into America, because that'll ripple into the rest of the world. It'll ripple into the rest of the world. We got to continue to pray for our leaders. We've got to continue to pray for them that they can hold the line when it comes to things that stand for godly values, godly truths. But that's up there. But what about down here? What about in our own lives? How do we go forward? How do we live a life that is unwasted? Because, I mean, we need stuff. I mean, but I think it's, again, it comes down to that thing of priority and things. What do we place an importance on? I think if we place importance on our finances, and to me, sometimes it's just a mind shift. And I love this line. It says, money is given to us and finances and wealth is given to us so that we will use it in a way that shows money is not our treasure, but Christ is our treasure. Can we use what God has given us to show that that thing is not our treasure? Can we use our homes, our cars, our food to show that it's not our treasure, but that Christ is our treasure? God has given us stuff. He's blessed us. He's blessed us with homes. He's blessed us with properties. He's blessed us with cars. He's blessed us with jobs. He's blessed us with education. He's blessed us with sport. I mean, that's another one. Is our sport so important in our lives that it takes the highest priority? And I was chatting to a friend, and he said to me, Chad, I know that cycling and running is not an idol in my life because I haven't done it for the last 3 weeks. I haven't needed to do it. It hasn't driven me. And I thought, I think, you're getting it. But what is it that shows Jesus is your treasure? What in your life, what in your lifestyle, what in what you're doing, what you're saying, in how you're living in your day-to-day, in the workplace, but us in terms of your faithfulness and your commitment to the body and to this, showing that Jesus is at the center of it all. We sing those songs. We lift up our voices and declare, Jesus at the center of it all. I can sing. Quentin. Jesus at the center of it all. Is he at the center of it all? Or is he just an add-on? I think that grieves the spirit so much is when church or when community or when building family or following Jesus is just an add-on. And to be honest, that is the spirit of the age. I tell you, I see it so often. I'm meeting people daily where you say, no, we go to church when we feel like it. We go to church just as and when, you know, maybe when there's going to be a good word, or when Ben's preaching, then, you know, Benny's preaching, then we're going to go. But when Chad's preaching, I'm not going to go. You know. But when Ben's preaching, how can we find out when Benny's preaching? Because then we're going to be at church, you know. Come on, guys. I want the meat and potatoes to come up to the top into the pot. I want you to walk out this meeting going, Jesus, Chad's right. But not only is Chad right, but you're right. My life is like a mist. I could walk out this door, get in my car, and be hit by a bus. My life is but a mist. Am I accumulating things of wealth? Am I accumulating, getting a better car, or I'm getting a house, I'm accumulating things, making my little palace look good? Or am I making your palace, your body look good? What is more important, your little place or his? Because your place ain't going to go to heaven with you. But you guys are going to be standing in heaven with me. Who are we discipling? Who are we, you know, the last couple of weeks the guy's been speaking about making disciples and about sharing the gospel. Man, who are we discipling? Are you just worried about your own life and just caring, or are you investing what God has put into your life, you know, your life into someone else? Are you being able to pull someone along at the side of them and say, hey, Jesus has done this, and let's walk a road with you? Or are you just worried about your immediate family, my kids and my husband or my wife? That's it. Are we building? What are we doing? What are we doing with this? What is going to be said about you when finally you do go to be in glory? And, you know, actually, I love, you know, Paul, that whole thing of, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He knew that his whole life, in life and in death, would bring glory to God. And can that be said of us, that our whole lives will bring him glory? In our life, in the illness, in the adversity that we face, it'll bring him glory. In our death, maybe, will it bring him glory? What can we say about our treasure? Jesus, only you can do it. I can say a few words, and I've asked and I've prayed that God would use my words to stir you but that it would just awaken something in your hearts, that you would just know that you've been put on this earth for a purpose. Make it count, please. Don't waste it away. Don't waste your life. Don't think I've achieved it. I've reached this goal. I've got a house now. Man, that is the trap of the devil. He wants to just catch you. And don't make other things more important than this. Don't. Because what it does, it shows where your heart is. It shows where your heart is. That actually, getting together with the saints on a Wednesday night is not that important. Because, you know, they don't really need me. And they may be a little bit boring. And actually, I don't like that oak, John. He's like a bit of an irritating. Like when he blows his nose, he kind of, I don't like, you know. No, honestly, sometimes we find the most silliest of things to stay away from getting together as saints. You know, and this is not being legalistic. This has just been real, guys. The life, you know, sometimes real things happen. I've got to work late, or, you know, but don't allow the little excuses to become the big excuses. Don't allow, I've had a heavy day, and I'm starting a headache. Come on, trust in Jesus. That you're going to go to community with that headache, they're going to pray for you. And you're going to get healed. I'm tired. You know what? I'm tired. Yo. Tell you what, there's nothing more refreshing than spending time in the presence of God and saints. Nothing more refreshing. And we tend to forget that. We're very quick to forget that. That spending time with believers, I think it's draining. No, I'm an introvert. I recharge by myself. I'm an introvert, believe it or not. I do recharge by myself, but I find other times to recharge. I make that time to recharge, and I I mean, you can ask, they watch me in a crowd, like Chad just starts to twitch kind of thing. I find time to recharge. I make time to recharge because God has called me to this. God has called me to love, to build, to extend his kingdom. And if I'm constantly just not finding time for Chad, I'm out of sync. But it's because my treasure is Jesus. I've realigned that thing. And I want us just to pray this morning and just to take some time just to, I know we say let's not navel gaze, but sometimes we just need to re-look at our lives and just to God, have I allowed myself to get too focused on other things? Have I actually just not made you my treasure? I've made that what I'm doing a treasure. Your ministry is not your treasure. Hello? It's not. My ability to pray for people, my ability to preach, my ability to go and, I'll be honest, go and evangelize in the streets, that's not my treasure. Jesus is my treasure. That's an overflow of my treasure. That's an overflow because I love him. And why do I do this? Because he is important. Jesus, let's bow our heads. Jesus, Hector, why don't you guys come up? Thank you, Jesus, for this morning. Thank you that you this morning are spurring us on, that you are calling us to a deeper level of commitment with you. I tell you, it's not the beginning of the month, beginning of the year preach. You know, let's envision everyone for the year and get them all realigned. No, I tell you what, I will preach this every Sunday because this is what it is. This is what it's about, guys. This is what actually can make us unpopular. And I'm not here for popularity. I'm here for Jesus. I want to see each and every one of you guys running for Jesus 150%. You know, overflowing. I think just those pictures of the dams this last week where there's a meter of water over the dam wall. Like the dam can't contain the amount of water coming in. It's just flowing over and it's just spilling out and it's affecting the farms downstream. And that's what our lives need to be like. Not just a wall containing the water, but overflowing, affecting all those around us. That every life around us has been touched and transformed by Jesus because he is our treasure. He is our treasure. He is our treasure. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, you are. And Lord, that we, you know, that we sing songs about you can have it all and Jesus at the center of it all. But Lord, we would not just say those words lightly, but we would come to a deep revelation of you being the center of it all. And I know that as we do, as we make Jesus the center of it all, he will transform us. He will change us. He will deal with the character issues. He will deal with the glitches. He will deal with the problems. But if we seek him first, we seek him first. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.
It is you.
Yes, Jesus.
We adore. It is you.
Our
praises are for and only you. The heavens declare, it is you, it is you, it is you. We adore,
and you we adore.
It is you. Our praises are declare, it is you, it is you,
it is you,
it is you, we adore, it is you, our hearts are full, and only you, the heavens declare, It is you. It is you. It is you.
Just feel as Chad shared, it just stirred my heart, and I just felt, you know, just in this moment, we're declaring His goodness. And you know, what Chad was sharing was not something that we can cognitively change. It's not something of just repentance, changing my mind, but it's positioning my heart. And there's something of you know, for Jesus to become my treasure, He first has to become my pleasure. And I just felt this morning, as Chad was sharing, is maybe you've lost the pleasure of just His beauty. You know, the Bible talks about losing your first love. And that love when you first met your partner, it's that, you know, I'm in love with my wife, but you know what? I got to stay in love with her. I love her by the things I do, and we can do a lot of things, and we can, but it's that thing of positioning your heart right. Say, I just want to fall in love with you again, Jesus. In order for you to be my affections, I need to position my heart again. And maybe some of you have been struggling with that. Look, it's not a cognitive thing. You can read the Bible many times, but I felt let's position our hearts, and it's the Holy Spirit that does it. And so if you're feeling, God, this thing of Chad sharing, give your life, it's difficult. Yes, it is, but you know what? It becomes easy when it's your pleasure. It becomes easy when Jesus is your treasure. Think of it. The thing that you love the most, I'm talking about your carnal things that we do in life, those things you do often. Why? Because you love it. But if Jesus is your first love, your heart will be positioned and then your body will follow. You hear what I'm saying? And we want our bodies to follow, but we're not calling your bodies this morning. We're calling your spirits. We're calling on the Spirit to witness with your spirit that Jesus will come and be revealed to you once again, that your first love will be fired up this morning, that He can position you and say, God, I see you now. I see you. My affections are for you now. And come in and align my heart now, because I can behold the beauty of your glory this morning. And in doing that, and maybe you've been battling with that, come this morning. Let's pray for you. Let's allow the Spirit to bear witness with your spirit this morning.
I just want to say, sometimes it's a choice and the emotions follow. Well, not sometimes, it is. It's always that. We this is not an emotional thing. It's actually God, I choose today to do that. And in that choice, the emotions will follow.
Praises are for and only you.